Good morning and welcome to Bongean Report Early Edition. I am your host, Avita. We have a lot to talk about today. The corporate media is telling us that actually Trump wasn't shot because we know how reliable and unbiased the corporate media is. Rape is surging in soft on crime, New York City. Kamala Harris released her first ever campaign ad, and guys, she turned the cringe up to 10. With this one, left-wing media personalities are attacking Christians for believing that God saved Donald Trump during the assassination attempt on his life. And at the end, we're going to discuss why leftism is turning beautiful young girls very ugly and very depressed. All of this on Bongean Report Early Edition. Trump wasn't shot, you guys. Apparently, so says Newsweek. This is actually from Newsweek. They say Donald Trump might not have been shot after all. You have an image of that tweet. We are dealing right now, you guys, with full-on Trump assassination attempt trutherism. We have people in the media straight up lying about what happened on that Saturday rally. And you won't believe who the source is for this Newsweek article. Christopher Wray, right? The guy who runs the most weaponized and corrupt federal agency in American history. This is the agency that tried to throw Trump in prison. This is the agency that's weaponized itself against half the country. So, of course, this Newsweek story and the assertions from Christopher Wray is a lie. But even if they're right, right? Maybe Trump was hit with shrapnel and not a gun shot, not an actual bullet. But the president was still shot at. The Secret Service still let it happen with gross negligence. Perhaps something more sinister. I don't know. Dan Bongino is going to get to the bottom of it. I assure you. So what is the corporate media trying to prove with this story? They want to downplay Trump's unbelievable courage and leadership in the wake of the assassination attempt. That's what this all comes down to, because the corporate media is the propaganda arm of the state. That is very important for all of us to understand when we're dealing with outlets like Newsweek or CNN or MSNBC, all of them, Washington Post, New York Times, that's what we're dealing with. Do you guys remember this video from the late night show back during the dark authoritarian days of COVID hysteria? This is peak media propaganda. And of course, you know, the late night show is a comedy skit, but it's still part of a corporate media outlet, still part of the regime. It still does the work of the state. Let's play this video. You'll see what I'm talking about.
The vaccine.
I can't believe that this was real. Like, you look back on it, you think, kind of reminds me of something out of the Hunger Games, like that the Capitol would put on as like the people are starving and suffering because of the authoritarian regime that's in charge of the government. And the late night host is just dancing. Okay, we're good with that. Horrible. Brings back nightmares of COVID, really. It does. I'm sure it does for everybody listening. But in case you guys weren't aware of this, during COVID, HHS and the CDC enlisted and paid screenwriters, production companies, comedians, TikTok influencers, Joe Rogan guests, and church leaders to promote the COVID shot propaganda to the public. And that is exactly what you were just looking at. So in other words, the U.S. government covertly used our tax dollars to psychologically manipulate us into taking the experimental shot. What you watched just now was state-run media without the label. Very insidious, very covert. That is what we're dealing with. This is the same regime, the one that's lying about the assassination attempt, same one that was lying about COVID, same one that will spin more media state-run narratives in the future. It's never going to end. This is a headline that hasn't been reported on enough in the press. Rape has surged by 11% in New York City. This is an excerpt from this article. Experts suggested several factors could be behind the increase, including the NYPD's dwindling manpower, flashback to BLM, the surge in migrant population, and failing bail reform policies. Now, just so you guys know, bail reform is just lib speak for releasing from jail almost every single defendant charged with drug dealings, car theft, burglary, street theft, shoplifting. That's what that means. And this is the party, right? The party that runs New York City is the party that says they love women. They stand up for women. They protect women. Except all of their policies leave women and children far more vulnerable than ever before. And if you criticize policies like eliminating cash bail or flooding our country with unvetted illegals, you're called a racist. You'll get slammed if you point out the fact that Kamala Harris is the border czar. Not was, but is the border czar and is making blue cities like New York dramatically more unsafe. And also putting massive strain on predominantly black and brown neighborhoods in these blue cities. Putting strain on the taxpayers who have to pay for their housing, their food, everything for these illegal migrants being sheltered in blue cities. And again, Kamala Harris not was border czar. She is the border czar. She was never removed from that job. She is the czar of human trafficking. She's the czar of violent crime, of the drug epidemic. Remember that. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to discuss Kamala Harris's biggest accomplishment as vice president. And you guys, the answer will shock you what that is. We'll be right back.
You asked and MyPillow listened. They're finally bringing you the most requested offer ever. Get the queen size premium MyPillow now only $19.98. MyPillow is made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, helps you keep your neck aligned, and holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. Get their six-piece kitchen or bath towel sets for only $25. The brand new mattress topper as low as $69.98. Get their famous MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $25 and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-637-4982. Use promo code DAN to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow, only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. Don't delay. Order today.
Thank you to our sponsors for keeping this show free. Really appreciate you guys. You might be a liberal. You might be on the fence, an independent, thinking about who you're going to vote for in November. And you want to know, what is Kamala Harris's biggest accomplishment as vice president? And I'm going to be fair here. I'm going to let the famous Elizabeth Warren, also known as Pocahontas, tell us what she thinks Kamala Harris's greatest accomplishment is. Here you go.
So what do you think has been her biggest accomplishment since she's been vice president?
Oh, I have to say, since the Dobbs opinion, the way that she has rallied women and friends of women, also called men, around this country on the issue of abortion and just taken it home. First vice president in history to visit an abortion clinic.
Okay. The first to visit an abortion clinic. That's it. That's her accomplishment, guys. People are literally dying in rural Wisconsin, where I'm from, because of the drug crisis fueled by Kamala's open border. But she's worth it, you guys. She's amazing because she visited an abortion clinic. I seriously know people who back home are addicted to fentanyl, have had their lives destroyed by the drug epidemic. There are people all across America who are suffering right now because of, because, I mean, this is Biden's fault as well, but he's senile right now. He's not running again. So we're going to talk about Kamala because she is the border czar. She has created so much death and destruction, a human trafficking crisis. And we're going to talk about how amazing she is because she visited an abortion clinic. Why would that make you want to vote for Kamala? I don't know why that's inspiring in any way. And by the way, she's not unifying when it comes to abortion. This is a very radical position she takes on the issue. She doesn't support any limits on it. She's never said in an interview, and people have tried to push her, what stage, what week, she won't say because she doesn't actually support any limits. In 2020, then Senator Kamala Harris voted against the Born Alive Act, the Abortion Survivors Protection Act. This was a bill that would force abortionists to save babies who survive an attempted abortion. In other words, Kamala Harris voted to protect infanticide. I don't know whose vote she's winning with that radical stance. Not mine, not normal Americans. Again, most Americans support some limits on abortion. Kamala supports none. This is not a winning issue for her. I'm sick of hearing that from the right as well. Let's talk about how extreme she is on abortion. Let's take this issue head on because she is wildly out of touch with regular Americans. We're going to keep talking about Kamala because she has come out with her first ever campaign ad, and I had to watch it. Unfortunately, it showed up in my timeline. I was subjected to it by my own curiosity. So now you guys have to watch it too. Let's play it.
In this election, we each face a question. What kind of country do we want to live in? There are some people who think we should be a country of chaos, of fear, of hate. But us, we choose something different. We choose freedom. Freedom, freedom,
I can't move. This is a Beyonce song. Is this the civil rights era? Have we gone
freedom
back
not
in time?
Just to get by, but get ahead. The freedom to be safe from gun violence. The
so
freedom to make
taking
decisions
a freedom
about
away,
your own
actually,
body.
Is what she's saying.
We choose a future where no child lives in poverty, where we can all afford health care, where no one is above the law.
Except for
we
all
believe
Democrats
in the
ever.
Promise of America, and we're ready to fight for it. Because when we fight, we win. So join us. Go to KamalaHarris.com and let's get to work. I'ma keep running because the winner don't
quit on themselves. We're good. You guys, apparently Kamala Harris thinks that we've gone back in time. We're now in the civil rights era. We have to do freedom songs. But what's interesting is all of the freedom that she's talking about is actually taking freedoms away from people, right? So freedom from gun violence, that's just taking away Second Amendment rights. Freedom to choose, right? What is that? Freedom to kill unborn children. Like both of those things are taking away constitutional rights. Second Amendment, the right to life, right? It's a little bit ironic. It's a lot ironic. And she says, oh, no one's above the law. That was a whole line in there. And they show the Trump mugshot, except for literally all Democrats ever, right? When has a liberal ever gone to prison for not complying with the congressional subpoena? Like Steve Bannon. Kamala's party is jailing its political opponents as we speak, trying to imprison Donald Trump, throw him off the ballot, labeling MAGA supporters domestic extremists and targeting and surveilling them. I mean, this is one of the fakest ads I've ever seen. After J6ers, traditional Catholics, parents at school board meetings, the list goes on and on. This is the fakest, most obnoxious faux civil rights ad I have ever seen in my life. And by the way, just a reminder, BLM rejected Kamala Harris. She wants to be now this hope and change Obama 2.0, but Obama has not endorsed Kamala either. Kamala is not MLK. She's not Muhammad Ali. This whole thing is wildly, wildly fake. It is fake. Speaking of all this Kamala created freedom, we can't forget that the Biden-Harris regime has weaponized itself against pro-life citizens specifically. This is Christopher Wray this week speaking before a congressional hearing, saying he had no knowledge, he has no knowledge of the 75-year-old pro-life woman who has famously been sentenced now to 2 years in prison for peacefully protesting outside of an abortion clinic. Let's play that.
Are you familiar with the case of Paulette Harlow? She's a 75-year-old elderly woman from Massachusetts with a debilitating medical condition. She was prosecuted for violating the FACE Act and sentenced to 2 years in prison. She has to go to Texas in 2 weeks. She was praying at an abortion clinic in Washington, D.C. The FBI interrogated and investigated her. Do you think it is appropriate for a 75-year-old woman who is praying at a clinic in D.C. to be put in prison for 2 years for that activity? Just a simple question. Do you think that's appropriate?
I'm not familiar with the specific case.
You're not familiar with that case. It's been significantly in the headlines. But you don't know how to comment on that case, that it's appropriate for a 75-year-old woman to be put in prison for 2 years for praying at a clinic.
Again, since I'm not familiar with the case, I don't want to start weighing in because I don't know all the facts. But what I can tell you is that when it comes to FACE Act enforcement and abortion-related violent extremism, I think one of the things that gets lost, and I appreciate the opportunity to clarify it, is that really since the Dobbs decision, actually more of our abortion-related violent extremism investigations have focused on violence against pro-life facilities as opposed to the other
this
way around. And we've had a number of investigations. We're using FACE Act resources and our JTTFs.
We're still waiting on responses on letters that we've sent indicating the data to the contrary, that there's been significant amount of efforts in targeting of people who are pro-lifers who go to clinics and that they've been prosecuted like this case.
What he said there about them going after a pro-abortion terrorist is a complete lie. You had countless pro-life pregnancy centers vandalized, destroyed, even firebombed after the Dobbs decision, and the FBI has done nothing about it. Ask the pregnancy center in Buffalo what the FBI did when their building was completely torched, destroyed by Jane's Revenge, pro-abortion terrorist group. Nothing. Kamala Harris, and this is the point here, she's not just an idiot. She's actually an authoritarian. The Biden-Harris administration doesn't care about freedom. They don't tolerate dissent. More pro-lifers are being sentenced and charged every single day by this weaponized state. This is Bevelyn Williams, I'm sorry. She's a Christian wife, mother, has a young daughter who was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison. Can we show the picture of her, Michael? Do we have that? No, we don't have the picture. She's a very cute girl. And I just learned about her story today, seeing it in the news. More of these pro-lifers keep coming up. It's not just Mark Houck, which is the first one who had his home raided as his seven children were sleeping inside, terrorized by federal agents. There are so many people now who are being targeted for peacefully protesting these abortion clinics. And that's what 4 more years of Harris means. An even further, more brazen, weaponized state. It's really dangerous. And we're all thought criminals in Kamala's America. That's essential. We're going to switch gears a little bit because the left really hates that many conservatives believe Trump survived the assassination attempt on his life by the grace of God. They think that we're stupid. And Bill Maher is one of those people. He said on his show recently that all of us are engaging in, quote, magical thinking and elevating Trump to demigod status. Listen to what Bill Maher said.
MAGA Nation, because they are religious by nature and given to magical thinking, have been trending towards demigod worship for a while now. The shirts and flags and posters depicting Trump the Redeemer, the crosses and religious imagery that were heavy in the crowd on January 6th. But Trump didn't survive the attempt on his life because of divine intervention. He survived because a virgin couldn't hit the fattest president since Taft. And again, make no mistake, I'm glad he couldn't. But Trump is alive because he's the single luckiest motherfucker who ever lived.
lot of left-wing journalists have expressed this sentiment. And Robert Busek, he wrote for The Federalist, a really great reflection on this Bill Maher video. He said, like Marx, Maher sees religion as a mere opiate of the masses, ignoring that the divine physician actually helps his patients deal with pain and suffering, the natural results of the belief that the universe operates randomly. And Robert goes on to correctly point out that religious people are much happier and psychologically much more psychologically resilient than non-religious people. And maybe Maher could learn something from these religious people instead of just ridiculing them. And people are never not religious, right? This idea that he's Bill Maher so enlightened and all these left-wing journalists are so much smarter than these idiotic and God-fearing Trump supporters is actually not true, because you always replace Christianity with something. You're never not religious. And Robert calls this the Church of ID. He writes, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Just Stop Oil, and Queers for Palestine all preach a false gospel whose goal is not to provide happiness and peace, but increasing degrees of rage that can be funneled against their conservative and centrist opponents. That's it. That is the religion that Maher and so many others have replaced Christianity with. They are just as fanatical, I guess they would say, as Trump supporters, as Christians. And I think they could learn a lot from Christians, because Christians tend to be a lot happier and, again, a lot more psychologically resilient than these left wingers who have a lot of mental issues. And that's not just me, you know, just saying that, because I'm not a liberal myself. This is backed up by the data as well. And that brings me to my next story. There are a lot of examples on the internet of young people's outward appearance dramatically changing when they become leftists. And I came across this video that sort of exemplifies what I'm talking about. We can't play the music, but you see, this is the woman before she comes out, right? It's queer or something. And then you see after what has happened to her. It's horrible. And this was a very beautiful, I mean, she still is actually a beautiful girl, but she's purposely making herself ugly, it seems, right? She's shaving her head. She's all these piercings. She's not taking care of herself. And that's because leftism is an ideology that is devoid of true fulfillment and peace. This is what we were talking about with Bill Maher. Leftism tells young women to destroy the patriarchy and preaches about things like fat acceptance. And this girl bought into the left-wing lifestyle, but she doesn't look liberated. She looks miserable. She is emotionally and spiritually sick. The left is destroying an entire generation of young women. And young women are the most mentally ill demographic in America. Pew Research, look it up. It's not a joke. They are deeply, deeply unhappy because this poisonous ideology is infecting them internally. It's a movement devoid of all authentic fulfillment, all happiness. It is poisonous. It is destroying lives. So don't let that happen. If you have a sister, if you have a daughter, a granddaughter, you have to protect them from this ideology. It is cancerous. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I have been beside myself with all of the views and engagement that I've gotten recently. It has been really astounding and wonderful to see. So I really appreciate all of you listening. Make sure to like, subscribe, and rate this podcast. That really helps. And reminder that I'm here at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 5 days a week. I'll see you all next Monday.